Welcome back. Now, back in the summer of 1990, my wife, Dean, and I had the chance to meet and chat with Eddie DeGarmo and Dana Key of DeGarmo & Key. So, the questions that we were asking were dealing with situations back then. But first, we asked about changes with their audience through the years.
They've gotten a lot bigger. They've gotten a lot better educated. On our first tours, they would advertise us as gospel group. And so we would have a lot of people come to the concert that were expecting a gospel concert, you know, with four guys in suits singing. And we just got accustomed in the first few years to about a third of the audience leaving after the first song. And we considered that to be the weeding out period, where stragglers who didn't know who we were would wander in because it was a gospel-related event. That doesn't happen anymore. I mean, almost everyone who comes to our concert not only knows who we are, but they know the songs that we're going to play, and they know the words, and they sing along. The audiences have gotten considerably bigger. We used to spend a lot of time debating the merits of contemporary Christian music back in those days. We don't spend any time doing it anymore. We just do counseling. And since the audience is educated to what we're going to do and why we're going to do it, they are the ones that make sure that those who need to be ministered to actually show up. They bring their non-Christian friends. They bring their backslidden Christian friend, expecting us to minister to them, and we do.
Let's take you back to that first album called This Time Through, released in 1978. Here is Wayfaring Stranger, DeGarmo and Key on Streets of Gold.
I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. Lord, I swear there's no pain. I know there's no danger in that bright world to which I go. I want to see salvation story blood-washed band. Lord, I want to wear that crown of glory when I get home to that good
classic, Wayfaring Stranger, on Streets of Gold. The guys share about their solo projects now.
Ben and I have known each other since the first grade. And we react to one another more like family than we do business or ministry associates. And we had talked about the possibility of doing solo projects for a long time. It wasn't something that just popped up. We just didn't know when it would be right to do. And we have a lot of different kinds of things that musical taste and different things that we say on our own that we don't necessarily think that DeGarmo and Key's focus should be. And so, for example, my record is, soulful, very soulful. And Dana's is more orchestrated than what a DeGarmo and Key record would be, more classical based. And it's just good to do things that are different to keep your edge. And in fact, we're going to continue to do it. I got another one coming out in 2 months. And the first season, probably do another one here for a long time.
Now, several months after this interview, Eddie DeGarmo released his second solo album. And from that CD, here is Can't Stand Still on Streets of Gold.
Have you ever felt the need? Try and help a weaker brother.
Still time.
From 1990 and the CD Phase 2, that is Eddie DeGarmo and Can't Stand Still. You're listening to an interview that I did with DeGarmo and Key back in 1990 on the program today. And we asked them back then, their calling in the ministry, do they feel that they are more called now than they were when they first started?
I think even more so now, in that I think that we've had 11 years to mature as Christians, and I think as we get older as Christians, we're better able to tell what God's will is. You know, when I first gave my life to Christ, finding God's will, you know, was like going out searching for gold. I mean, it was elusive, and, you know, I didn't understand very many biblical principles about finding God's will. I think Eddie and I, through the last 11 years, have had to make so many decisions and go through so many difficult times, and we've grown so much in our own churches and families, and I think it's a lot easier for us now to perceive God's will and to follow it.
Another question we asked was about preparing for a concert.
We have devotions daily, try to have. Sometimes it's very difficult when you have 17 people on the road to get them all together. But one thing that's a little bit of a misconception is that I feel like that a lot of audiences think that we're indeed special Christians, but we're no different. I mean, every Christian needs to prepare whatever he does in prayer, you see. And every Christian needs to seek the will of God and tell others about Christ. We certainly feel like that we've been called to quote the ministry, whatever that ministry may be for us, but every Christian should have some kind of ministry. And I don't view myself as any more special, or view that what I should be different than anyone else. I think the problem is, as many times our audiences think that it's that way, they think that, or a lot of the public necessarily think that their responsibility to Christ and to holiness and those things is not as great because they're not in the public eye, and that's not true.
We try to set aside an hour a day with the band for Bible study and prayer before each concert, but there perhaps is a misconception about, it's not like we go back in the bus and we decide, well, what are we going to talk about tonight in concert? We knew what we were going to talk about tonight in concert 6 months ago, because we pray months about the album that we're going to record, the lyrics that are going to be on the album, what is going to be the theme of the album, and then what's going to be the theme of the tour. And we look at our lives more in terms of these crusades that we call tours rather than individual performances. I remember I went to visit a church one time, and the pastor said, well, I got up this morning, and I said, Lord, tell me what you want me to preach on today. And of course, my thought was, brother, you should have asked the Lord what you want to preach on sometime last week so you'd have time to prepare during the week. And Eddie and I have found that preparing these last-minute messages, sometimes they can be timely, but more often than not, your thoughts are scattered, the ministry gets lost inside the technical effects that you do and the music. And I think it's a lot better for you to determine months in advance what God's will is concerning a tour and an album. We have the freedom in our concerts to respond to the Spirit if there is something unusual, or if we're in a situation, for instance, if we are invited to play on a secular college campus and we know that most of the Christians are going to be college-age intellectuals that are non-Christians, we'll shape the evening for that. But pretty much, whether we're in Alaska or we're in Alabama, the audiences are very, very similar, and they have the same needs, and we see the very same responses to the invitation at night. When we get to the back, we get to the counseling room, we see the same tears of repentance, and we hear the same stories about drug and alcohol abuse and struggles walking with Jesus. So they're really worldwide. Kids are pretty much the same.
Got a DeGarmo and Key classic for you, a song which actually became their first number one song. From 1983, Let the Whole World Sing on Streets of Gold.
And from creation your song was heard. You
Yes, let the whole world sing. And you might well be wondering, well, what are we singing about? Well, we're singing because the King of Kings loves us very much and wants only the best for our lives. Hallelujah. De Garmo and Key from their Mission of Mercy album today. I'm Larry Wayne. We'll have more of that De Garmo and Key interview when we return.